us, remind us who we are as a church. Those words that we just sang, we are the church. He wants us to be with his word, he's chosen us to be on his team. More than that, we're those who are going to be seeking the truth in love, building the body up. We are one. We are one. Now, I'd like you to imagine that you're sitting next to the person, near the person that you're sat next to, have a look at the people that sat around you, okay? And just imagine that you are meeting them for the first time. How would you introduce yourself to them? What would you say to them about yourself so they know something about you? What would you say to them? Your name? Yeah, anything else you might say about yourself? Your age? Yeah, anything else? How you're related to them? Go on. Okay, the mom is your sister. Yes, and you're your mom's sister. Okay, you might say those things. Okay. There's lots of things up there that we might want to say about ourselves. But I guess we might not first of all think about saying the things that we've just been singing in that song and the things that come up in our Bible passage this morning. I wonder how many of us would say to the person sat next to us, or in fact to anybody else in this room who is a Christian, "Hi, I'm David. I've never met you before, but I'm your brother and you're my brother or sister in Christ." That's quite a different way of looking at each other, isn't it? My guess is that most of us would probably not say that, even if we're Christians. Even if you're somebody who believes in Jesus, you love him, you want to live for him. Well, the truth is that you are part of the same family as every other Christian who is alive today and who has gone to be with the Lord Jesus already. All in God's family because of who Jesus is and what he did that first Easter and he died on the cross. Just take another minute to look around the room. Have a look at the people around you. Just see how different. Does anybody look exactly like you?
No.
Even if my twin brother was back here, he would not look exactly like me. He's a bit taller than me, but about that much. I've got a few more grey hairs than he has, but he's got more hair than I have. He's longer.
And his voice
is
a bit deeper than mine.
So we're all different, aren't we? As we look at each other, let's see that difference and treasure it. We're different ages, lots of different generations here. Some of us are young, some of us are old, some of us like to call ourselves middle aged because we don't want to call ourselves old. We come from lots of different backgrounds. Some of us come from Africa, some of us come from the Far East, some of us come from the Middle East, some of us come from Europe, some of us come from the UK. We all look different. Our skin is a different colour. We're different sizes. We have different colour hair.
Those of us that have hair. There's a lot.
We speak different languages. Some of us speak English. Some of us speak Swahili. Some of us speak Ingala. Some of us speak Kinyarwanda. Some of us speak French. Some of us speak all of those. Like Pierre. Some of us have different life experiences. For some of us, life has been easy, some of us have been hard, some of us are rich, some are poor. Some work, but some cannot work. Some are healthy, some are sick. We live in different places. Some of us live in the same house, but many of us live in different places. And we do different things. We are all very different, and yet in Jesus Christ, we are made one. That's what the song was saying, that's what we're finding out today. We are united in Jesus, and if you are a Christian, your identity, your passport, should really say not British citizen, or any other citizen, but heaven's citizens, part of Christ's family and body. Amen. different and our unity, how we are united in Jesus, but we're also unique or different in Jesus, and how together we are useful to each other and useful to Jesus. Now, as a church, as Aviva was saying, as Gregory was praying earlier, we're introducing our new culture, our Christ-centered culture of being safe, happy, effective, and free. Safe, happy, effective, and free. Do you want me to get back to this microphone?
No, no.
Is it picking up yet?
Yeah, okay.
And we're talking a lot about this over the next month. And we're doing that because we are also different, but we are also Christ's church. There is a oneness about us, but there's also a difference about us. And that's why we want to encourage everybody to take home with you one of these sheets to do with our church culture. Take home the Bible passage with you. And at the bottom of the Bible passage, you will see there is this culture laid out of how we're going to be looking at it over the next few weeks in May. We want to be those in the church who are united in Christ and embrace a Christ-centered culture in which we're safe to speak the truth of Christ with love and without fear. In which we're happy or content in Christ and in belonging to His church here. In which we are effective, we are equipped to serve Christ here. In which we are free to use the gifts that Christ has given us to serve Christ and to serve His church and the mission of His church here in Greenside. That's what we're looking at. And you know what? It's not going to be that easy because we are so different. You know, it would be really easy, wouldn't it, to think that a football team would work well if everyone was the same. But then if everybody was a striker, everyone was a forward, trying to score goals, you'd have nobody to go around and say another from scoring goals. We need a difference, but we need the unity. But it's not always easy being united when we're so different. And the message that we're looking at is the 21st place of the church in Rome. The church in Rome was full of very different people. There were people who wouldn't usually spend time together. There were Jews and Gentiles hating each other. They wouldn't eat the same food. They wouldn't go to the same place. There were rich and there were poor. There were famous and there were people who were despised who he didn't want to speak to. There were victorious Roman soldiers and there were those that they had defeated. They spoke lots of different languages and looked all very different. A bit like us, really. And it was challenging for them to be united, just as it's challenging for us. And this chapter in Romans comes, chapter 12, comes where it does. After chapters 1 to 11, that's obvious, isn't it? But in chapters 1 to 11, Paul over and over again has kept speaking about the good news of God's gospel. That is for everybody. And it comes to each one of us through faith in Jesus and by His grace alone. It's only through what Jesus has done on the cross that we can come into God's family, into God's kingdom now. And in chapter 12 onwards, Paul is beginning to say what that means then for those people who have believed in Jesus, who have received His grace. And it's all about unity, uniqueness, i.e. being different, but all about being useful together. So the first thing to see this morning is this. In Christ, we become one family. And we see that in verses 1 and 2. Just have a look at verse 1, down in your seat. Just let me read it to you. In it, Paul calls Christians in the church in Rome, and us too. He says this, Therefore, I urge you, as soldiers, as slaves, as rich, as poor, as famous, as so very different people from different families. Is that what he's saying? No, he's not really. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. He's saying, here's a family with them. He wants to do a family with these Gentiles. Then he said, I urge you, look, because of, in view of God's mercy, or everything he said about God's grace and mercy in chapter 1 to 11, you are to live a certain way. They have become family in Christ. They are united as one. And that has happened, you can see there in verse 1, because of God's mercy or grace. That word of mercy isn't the usual word of mercy, but it's looking backwards at everything that Paul has been saying to do with God, with mercy and his grace. It's by God's grace they have become one family. And they're to live as one family for the rest of the family. With the rest of the family. They're to do what? They're to offer your body and live it as his holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The way that you are to live now as a family of God is to be pleasing to God. Worshiping him in all that you do and think and say, in all of your life together as brothers and sisters, as one family. Now, in our world, it's not that easy, is it? Our world says, look, the only family is those that you get on in your family. How many families do we know that have been born apart? I know that in my own family, and it is really painful. We often, in this world, say, I'm only going to be family with those people who are mine. You both have to put it, because so often you stick together with a family in ways that we do not. But also, the world around us says just be friends with people that like you. Or people who like to do the things that you do. The world says be who you want to be, say what you want to say, do what you want to do. No matter how much it affects anybody else. That's how the world thinks, isn't it? It's all about me. Or if it's you, it's all about you. It's not about being part of a family. And Paul says, look, we're not to conform to the pattern of this world. We're not to go down the route that the world goes down, which is all about me. No, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be changed. By the renewing of your mind. It starts here with how we think. Then we're going to be able to know what God's will is, how to live God's way as his family. We need Jesus to transform us. That's why in Christ we have not only become one family, but we also are becoming one family. It's something that we are already, but we need to work hard at. It means getting rid of all the selfish stuff about me and thinking about you. And you doing the same. You see, that's why verse 1 is speaking about any living sacrifice. I am going to sacrifice what I want for what you want. And of course, that's exactly what Jesus has done. That's why chapter 1 to 11 is so important, where we've seen all that Jesus has done, and what that means, and how we're being told to put that into practice. We are to sacrifice ourselves as Jesus sacrificed himself, giving up what we want or what others want, just as Jesus gave up his life to bring you and me into his kingdom, into his family. Again, it's not something that I can do on my own. It's what we need Jesus to do. That's why I said, be transformed. It doesn't say transform yourself. It says be transformed. And that happens, doesn't it? and we owe God's riches, as we spend time getting to know God better through the scriptures, He changes and transforms our minds so that the way that we think about one another is about family. The way we act to one another, speak to one another, is family, as brothers and sisters. We need Jesus' ongoing work so that we become the family that He made us. When I went to Britannia Royal Naval College 35 years ago, I joined the Royal Navy. I became part of the Royal Navy. I wore the uniform of the Royal Navy. I was part of a family of men and women who were wearing the same uniform. But I could not keep thinking as if I was just a civilian, somebody who was not in the Navy. Otherwise, I would do the wrong things, say the wrong things, and everything would go and be a mess. So if somebody said, march that way, and I march that way because I didn't want to listen to them, that would make an absolute mess. It would make life in the Navy not united, but disunited. Not one family, but people just doing what they wanted to do. So I need to get my thinking right about my naval family. And the same is true in the church. In Christ, we become one family. He makes us a family, but then we need to let Him change us and transform us. We need both stages. That we see is why Paul underlines grace and mercy in verse 1. Because that's what will motivate you and I to be family. You see, when we see Jesus over the years and what He's done on the cross, then we're going to treat others with that same love and grace also. So that when others treat us not like the family that we are able to forgive them. So that when I don't treat you the way that I can treat you as a brother or sister in Christ, you'll be ready to forgive me and show me grace, just as Jesus has shown us grace. We are united as a family. And we need to allow Jesus to change our thinking about each other. And my prayer is that over this next month especially, we're going to be allowing each other to do that. Learning our names, that's a great way. Communicating with people, chatting with people we've never chatted to before. And beginning to practice all of this safe, happy, effective, and free because we are a Christ-centered church who is, who are one family. I spent a lot of time on that, and I'll spend probably less on the next part. Because in the next part, yes, we're all one family, but in the next thing, we see that we are made one body. Verses 1 and 2 highlight our oneness and our unity of the family, but verses 2 to 5 highlight that we're both united and we're different. We are unique. Although my brother and I have the same DNA, we're made out of the same stuff. Each of us is unique because that DNA is expressed or shown in different ways. So it is with each one of us. We are part of the same body, but we are unique. To look at verse 3, it says, we are only part of God's people by faith, by the grace that He gives us. And so we're not to think about one another or about ourselves more highly than we ought to. So I'm not to put myself above you or you below me. We are part of one body. You cannot have one body and somebody be above another person. And verses 4 or 5 say, look, so just as each one of us has one body, I have one body, there are lots of different parts of my body, but all the parts of my body make one better, and so do yours. And verse 5 says, so in Christ, we know many form one body. And each member belongs to the other. Now, there's a big picture here, and I'm hoping it's going to stay together as I turn around. There we go. There's a big picture of a body. And this body, if you like, shows what we are like as a church. gives you a part of that body in a certain way. But the point is that Paul is saying, look, in Christ, no one is better than anybody else. But part of my body, the ear, can't say to the eye, I'm better than you. The leg can't say, well, the brown leg can't say to the yellow leg, I'm better than you. Because they all need each other, don't they? You see, maybe it's only one eye, but with only one eye, you can read, but you cannot judge distance. I don't know where that microphone is going to go. With only one ear, you don't know where a sound is coming from. When you two kidneys, they look different now, they're on opposite sides of the body. One heart. We're all different. And so I can't just take this ear off and say they don't need you. And you and I can't do the same to each other. Every single member of our church family, we are part of the same one body, and we need each other. That means there's no bad enough, there are no fleets. There's no young people and old people. We are family, we are one body together. Just have a look around again at everybody. And just realise that actually, every single one of us here is part of the same body. And there are people that aren't able to be with us here today through illness or because they've got to work us somewhere. And we miss them and we are at a loss without them. We need them. We need each other. And of course, if I was to take away one of these legs, well, how would the foot stay connected to the body? If I take away his leg, the man's going to fall over, isn't he? We need each other. Because we are part of the one body. Do you get the point? And that is why Paul again begins in verse 3 with that word grace. He says, for the word grace given, by the grace given. He's reminding us that actually God has made each of us the way He's made us. And He's brought us in Christ into that one body. And that means, therefore, that if we find it difficult to treat one another as part of the same body as ourselves, we've got a problem with what grace is. But if you ever really think that actually Lindsay shouldn't be part of the body, or she's somebody that just should do this or that, I don't mean to say something about myself and herself, that we're not part of the same body. But if I realise that Lindsay has been saved by grace, and I've been saved by grace, then we realise that neither of us deserves to be in this one body, but was given it by Christ. And so we need each other, and I'm at a loss without her. It should pain you when she needs to go to the hospital because she mustn't drink blood. It should pain you when you're not able to be here on Sunday because the body, you're not with the rest of the body. And of course, that goes further away, isn't it? The whole church of God throughout the world. Brothers and sisters, we are one family and we are one body. Each of us unique. We need each other and we need to see that each of us is so important. And again, just coming back to the same family effect in 3, you see, if I'm going to let you feel safe to say the truth in Christ for me, I'm going to need to make sure that I let you do that. Because what you have to say to me is just as important as what I have to say to you in Christ. And if I'm not allowing you to feel safe to speak the truth in Christ to me or to other people or anybody else, then we're not being family, are we? We're not being the one body that we are. Likewise, if I'm not, and you're not allowing me, or I'm not allowing you to feel happy or content in church life for any reason, then you need to feel safe to be able to say, hey, look, David, or I need to be able to say to you, hey, look, the way that you're talking to me, or when you're treating me, or this or that is not helping me to be part of the thing that you're part of, that we're part of. Do you see what I mean? Do you see how it begins to fit together? So, one family, one body, and then finally, in Christ, and this is verses 6 through to 8, in Christ we are gifted to serve. We're given different gifts. We're already realized to be different, but we're given different spiritual gifts. Just look down there, verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. God is the one who gives us spiritual gifts to serve Him. Jesus makes each of us different. So just think about that next time when you look at somebody and say, I wish I could be like that. It doesn't matter what they look like, it doesn't matter how they serve. What matters is how God has given you to serve, and that you can use what He's given you to serve Him, to serve the church family. Do you see? We're different, and they want to say, actually, I want to be like them. No, you want to be the person that Jesus Christ has made you and has gifted you so that you can serve Him and serve the church. And again, He gives us given to apply grace. Jesus gives them to us, and you know what we're going to give? What do you do with the gifts? What do you do with the gifts? Sorry? You use it, absolutely, you don't need the gift in a finished box, wrapped up, you tear the paper off, you open it up, hopefully without breaking it, and then you use it. And part of the things that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks is making sure that we can both help people know what their gifts are, and help equip them to be effective, and so they can be free in using those gifts in the church family. Because just as with this body, you see, the rest of the body needs the arm. Doesn't it? And if the gifts that the arm has are not used, then the rest of the body is out, doesn't it? And so it goes on, and so it goes on. We are here to be useful to Christ and useful to one another. And so that's why Paul goes on, he says, look, if your gift is prophesying, that's according to Revelation, say the truth about Jesus, then do that in the course of your faith. If it's serving and serving, it's teaching and teaching, it's encouraging and encouraging, it's giving and giving generously, if it's leading to it diligently, if it's showing mercy to it cheerfully. It's saying, get on and use your gifts. And part of the next few months, that's why the next few weeks, after the service, I'll say over the next few weeks, we'll have people from different areas of church life around us that are going to say, hey, look, what's it like to serve tea and coffee? What's it like to serve food and cleaning? What's it like to serve a PA desk? What's it like to do this or to do that? So that you can begin to think through and pray through how you can be serving and be effective and free. So that you can use your God-given gifts for the good of everyone. Not just for yourself. The musicians, they don't play just to make themselves feel better. They don't come and stand at the front of here just to parade who they are. They come to serve us first and foremost. And it's lovely to see how the music industry has grown. And we would love to see every other area of church life growing as people come to serve in the way that God has given them. And it will be different. Not everybody here is gifted to be a pastor. Not everyone is gifted to do technology. Not everyone is gifted to do first aid. Not everyone is gifted to do the Sunday class. Do you see my point? What are you gifted? Maybe that's something you can be praying for and praying about. And again, it does come back to grace, doesn't it? Because God's given us these gifts to use. How we get to honor Him, not just in using them, but how we use them. So, like this, how do you see yourself? Let's put this back here again. How do you see yourself? I think we see some challenging things for what God has to say about who He sees us as. We're a Christ-centered church, which means that we're going to be one family, we're going to be one body, and we're going to be using a different gift. So we are unique, united, and useful. And that all because of God's grace and love. Let's just take a moment, shall we, to think that through and to think about how we're going to respond before we come to our next song. We pray too that because of the grace of Jesus and His death on the cross, we are making our body even more intimately close. And yet you make each one of us different and dependent upon each other. We thank you that we need that we need each other. Please forgive us for what we do not rejoice in our difference. And don't praise me because of it. And Father, we thank and praise you for your grace in Jesus, that you have gifted us in different ways to serve you and to serve each other. Please forgive us for where we are selfish, and so to serve ourselves rather than you and one another. And may we each, by your grace and by the power of the Spirit, use your gifts so that we are useful to you and to one another. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.